No, don't hang up, because then the recording stops. Another Koach Gedulat Yemincha Tati Tzerura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. The sequence has a gematria, a numerical value of 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Use this sequence to bring unconditional love, mercy, into your life. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayim Sintet Nun. Krasatan, two Hebrew words made up of these six letters. Krasatan means to tear up Satan, to eliminate the negativity. The same letters can be rearranged to spell the words Sha'ar Katan, small gates. This is a reminder to close off the small gates in our bodies, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth. These are the entryways that we allow Satan into our life by not guarding them, by not evaluating what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we speak. All of these are the tools that Satan uses to enter into our life. And we have a very intriguing midrash about the way Satan enters. He's like a guest who comes for a night and stays forever. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yudkaf shin. Nun gimel dalet has a gematria of 57. Which is the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasa, or sustenance. Sustenance is everything that we need in our life. And anything that we need that we do not have is called a lack. Sustenance fulfills all of our lacks. Use this sequence to bring in those fulfillments, to bring in that pleasure that those fulfillments bring you. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that we use to take back the energy that we've given to the other side through our mistakes. Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sidkatcha Tamid Gamrem Betet Resh Tzadi Tav Gimel. The middle two letters of those six letters is Resh and Sadi, has a gematria of 290, which is the gematria of the name Miriam, and hints at Miriam the prophetess, Miriam the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher. This sequence is a sequence that can enhance the soulmates, the relationships in our life. Chasin kadosh v'rol tucha na'el adatach chet kufbet tet nunayin is the sequence for this month of Tishrei, which is coming to a close. The Pei, which is the letter that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the Lamed that created the constellation Mosnaim, the scales, the constellation Libra, and also the month of Tishrei. Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pinei Zokre Kid Shadu, Shatach, Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf, a sequence that we can use to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah in this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodeya, Talumot, Shinkufav, Tzadiyutav. This sequence is used to visualize our desires and manifest it in our lives. The last four letters, Vav, Tzadi, Yud, Tav, is the gematria of 506, just as the first verse is the same gematria. And this teaches us that to create, one must bring love at the beginning and at the end, because there really is nothing else but love. The last verse we say in a whisper, which we call silently, just loud enough that you can hear it, but no one else. I will say it loudly for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Vaed. Next Tuesday, actually next Monday and Tuesday, is Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, the new Hebrew month, the month of the flood, the month that Noah's flood started and ended, the month that has no holidays per se, although there are ways to connect to the energy of a holiday during Cheshvan. We'll talk about that maybe next week or the week after, probably next week. But I remind you that starting next Sunday night, the verse in the Anah B'Koach changes from the fifth verse, I believe, to the third verse. So keep that in mind. Before we speak tonight on the subject of the Jewish calendar, does anybody have any questions from last week about restriction? Has anybody tried to utilize restriction during this past week? Okay. Oh, I almost forgot. How could I forget? Time to bring in the energy of the Zohar. Vayihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kananeihu V'kol Da V'chotzi Lechem Min Haaretz Kol Tikunin Divnei Nisha Dika Metakna L'chai Esev Eretz Deful Chana Dilchon L'marechon L'sapka Al Yedechon Nehahi Eretz Tarpa Umzane lechai alma ulit barkan bnei nasha mebirkan dilel. All this is to bring forth food out of the earth, because all the improvements given to people are only for the purpose of establishing this herb out of the earth, which is the female principle. Thus people's service to their master is designed to supply sustenance and food from out of the earth to this world, so that people will be blessed from above. Seems like a little esoteric, doesn't it? What does it mean, the female principle? Herbs out of the earth. The verse in the Zohar is referring to the verse in the Chumash, in the Parasha of Bereshit, that talks about the fifth day of creation. In the fifth day of creation, the plants and trees were sprung forth out of the earth. But all of that is a code word explaining that something needs to be gestated. There's something, the word is pregnancy in different cannot have a child that comes from nothing. There must be a pregnancy. There must be a growth, a process that is in concealment. Plants do not grow unless you put a seed in the ground. Why do you put it in the ground? To conceal it so that it can gestate, so that it can spring forth. One of the amazing natural events, at least to me, that it takes 5 years to nurture a bamboo shoot, a bamboo seed in the ground. For 5 years, you water and nurture that seed. And all the while, nothing is going on the surface. And at the end of the 5 years, the shoot springs forth 50, 60, 80 feet, all in a period of 6 weeks. What do we learn from that? What is the gestation period? What was happening in that concealment under the ground? In order to support a plant 50 or 60 or 80 feet tall, you have to have a root system that can nurture it. You have to have that development. The purpose of pregnancy, the purpose of shooting forth from the earth, the purpose of the concept of the female principle, which is receiving, which is manifesting. Again, does anybody have any questions? Okay, tonight's subject is time. What is time? Who knows what time is? America? America's answer is that's how we measure our actions. But that's not a correct, it's partial, but it's not a full aspect of what is time. Time. Time is how you measure your growth. Well, it is an effect. Time does mean we get old. But that's not what it's supposed to mean. We don't have to get old. In fact, the reason people get old was at the wish of Abraham. Abraham and Isaac looked exactly the same. The two of them could not be told apart. And so Abraham went to the Creator and said, please, make it easy for people to tell us apart, to know that I'm me and he's he. So please let me get old. Even after she had a child, she didn't look old. She still looked like she was 20 years old. People matured to the age of 20, 22, and then they stayed that way. And Abraham asked that people get old as a gift of mercy, a gift of time. What most women would not consider time such a gift. The longer you're on this earth, the more wrinkles you have, right? But, of course, we have all the creams that avoid that.
And men like younger women.
That's an illusion. The point of time is the distance, the separation between cause and effect. In our physical world, I do an action. My roommate asked me to take a chair out today, so I did the action of taking the chair out. Now, why did I take the chair out? Because my consciousness was to help him. He needed the help at that moment. is going to return to me as part of the boomerang law. Whatever we do comes back to us. You do good, good comes back to you. You do negative, negative comes back to you. Time is the distance between action and effect, between cause and effect. The purpose of that is to reflect on our actions and do tshuva, to change the consciousness of those actions. We do that all the time. Why is time so fleeting? So fleeting. Why does time go quickly? It was only last week that I was 20 years old. How come you don't believe me? Time is the distance between cause and effect to do tshuva, to be able to reflect on what we did and why we did it. We are here in this world to remove bread of shame. Time is the process, the distance that allows us to process our actions to remove bread of shame. There are three ways of measuring time. There is the Muslim calendar, which is a lunar calendar. It has 355 days in each year, because that's how long it takes the moon to circle the earth 12 times. We have the Gregorian calendar, which is a solar calendar. 365 days, 365 and a quarter days a year. That's how long it takes the earth to go around the sun. And then we have a calendar we refer to as the Jewish calendar, which balances those two aspects. The Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar adjusted to the sun. Now, what does that mean? If we take the Muslim calendar, and in the year 680-something, when it was created and evaluated and made, the calendar had a holiday called Ramadan. Ramadan was in the spring. Ramadan is a 30-day holiday where the Muslims fast from sunrise to sunset for 30 days and party every evening. It's a wonderful holiday. But if you do not adjust the lunar calendar, next year that Ramadan holiday doesn't start in the spring. Oh, it's still in the spring, but it's 10 days later. Because the solar year and the lunar year are offset. They're not in sync. We can understand that because the male and female is rarely in sync. 3 years down the road, Ramadan starts a full month later, 30 days later. 10 years down the road, Ramadan starts a year later. It's not even in spring, it's in winter. In the Torah, we are told that the holiday of Pesach must start in the first month. It must be on the 15th day of the first month. And elsewhere, we are told that it must be in Aviv, which is the Hebrew word for spring. It is from these verses that we learn that we need to adjust the lunar calendar so that the holiday always starts in the spring. But more importantly for our experience, having a calendar teaches us about the energy of time. It teaches us about the energy of the cosmos. One of my teachers explains it by talking about metaphysical energy that repeat at the same time, the same physical location of the Earth relative to the Sun, relative to the time of year, all of those items coming together establishes a certain metaphysical energy. The way we know what that metaphysical energy is through the Hebrew calendar. If we just had the lunar calendar, we would be offset, we'd be out of sync with that metaphysical energy. Because each Hebrew holiday, coming in a different month, brings its own metaphysical energy for us to connect to. The Jewish calendar has 12 months of 29 or 30 days. Every 7 times out of 19 years, the Hebrew calendar adds a 13th month. And that adding of the 13th month, which we refer to as the pregnant year, adjusts the lunar back to the solar so that Passover always starts in the spring. The first month always starts in the spring. Each of the 12 calendar months has a holiday, except for the month of Cancer, but in some sense it does have a holiday. The month of Cheshvan, which in some sense does not have a holiday at all. And our understanding of what these holidays represent and what the metaphysical energy that is explained by these holidays. The purpose of the holiday is to let us know when the metaphysical energy is available. The purpose of the holiday is to connect with that metaphysical energy. The metaphysical energy of one month is different from another month. There is no cusp as there is in Gregorian astrology. Every sign corresponds to every Hebrew month. There is no cusp. There is no rollover. The energy ends and the new energy begins. The purpose of the calendar is to teach us when are these metaphysical time periods available for us. We stress it. When you come to class, I talk about the months. I tell you when they're changing. We talk about what the changes mean. Because in a 12-month cycle, we go through all of the opportunities in 1 year to achieve our correction completely. Everything that happens to us in a given year, any year, we have the opportunity to fix all that we have ever done wrong in all of our previous lifetimes. We don't do it. But that energy is available. That possibility exists. We learn what that metaphysical energy is from the Hebrew calendar, from the names of the months, from the tribes that the months relate to, because there's a reason why Jacob had 12 sons. there's a reason why the Torah teaches us about how to march in the desert. It spends a whole bunch of verses on telling me that the tribe of Judah leads and followed him as Yisachar and Zebulun. And what does that teach me? Well, it teaches me about certain astrological relationships. It doesn't teach me about history of the tribes of Judah, Zebulun, and Issachar. The calendar teaches us about the energy. Why don't we follow the Hebrew calendar? Even in Israel, they don't follow the Hebrew calendar. It's because we have forgotten what its purpose is. Let's give you one simple example of the Hebrew calendar. There are 19 years in the cycle. That means that the first day of the year, 19 years later, we have returned to the same place in space where the three essences come together, the sun, the earth, and the moon. They all come together in their relationships to each other, and we are back at that same place. 19 years. Why 19? We could understand if it was 18 years, because 18 is the Hebrew word for life. And certainly the sun brings us life. Why not 20 years? Why 19? I asked this question the first year I studied Kabbalah. And I didn't get an answer until about 4 years ago, which is 13 years later. I had to wait 13 years to build the vessel to be able to understand this answer on its many levels. A man has 9 sephirot. The 10th sephirot is his soulmate. A woman has 10 sephirot. She is complete within herself. A man cannot be complete without his spouse. A woman can be complete without him. 9 plus 10 is 19. We have a 19-year cycle to teach us this relationship between receiving and sharing. Now we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about what these months are. You won't recognize the names, and you don't need to. But you do need to recognize the energies. The first month is Nisan. It's ruled by Mars. And the other letter is He, Dalet and He. Dalet created Mars. He created the constellation of Aries. The holiday is Pesach, the holiday of freedom. The month of Nisan is about leaving narrowness, which is the Hebrew word of Mitzrayim, Egypt. Egypt represents an aspect of limitation. Nisan represents the aspect of leaping forward, of being totally free. But ultimately, the only thing that limits us is the desire to receive for oneself alone, what we call satan, that negative aspect of ourselves that says, I want for me. The freedom that we can achieve during Nisan is that freedom from the desire to receive for oneself alone, and the transforming of desire into that of sharing. The second month is Iyar, the holiday in Iyar is Pesach Sheni. The holiday in Iyar is Lag BaOmer. The holiday in Iyar is the counting of the Omer. The Omer is a period of 49 days that on the physical level represented the steps that the Israelites took in the desert. They left Egypt. 49 days later, they arrived, or 47 days later, they arrived at Sinai. 3 days of cleansing, and on the 50th day, they received the Torah, the revelation of the light of God, called the Torah. Those 49 days cover the last 15 days of Nisan, all of Iyar, and the first 6 days of Sivan, the third month. It's a metaphysical energy of complete light. But if you don't have the vessel for that light, it burns. So we don't start new things in the period of the Omer. But we only know when the Omer occurs based on the calendar. The purpose of the calendar is to teach us these metaphysical energies, these metaphysical time periods. We could call them spring. Well, spring's not quite over when Sivan comes, so it's not clean in that aspect. The calendar is adjusted to the sun. The lunar is adjusted to the sun. The third month is the month of Sivan, the month of Gemini. The sixth day is the holiday of Shavuot, Pentecost, the revelation of the Bible. The fourth month is Tammuz. Tammuz is the month of Cancer. The holiday of that month is the 17th of Tammuz, the month when the Torah was actually brought down by Moses the first time. We went up on Sinai. He received the Ten Commandments, its 10 utterances. And then he stayed up, or he came down and went back up for 40 days. And on the 17th of Tammuz, he came down 40 days later, and found the Israelites had built the golden calf. So the month of Cancer became a negative month, based on our human actions. It was supposed to be a holiday of happiness and joy. And now it's a 3-week period, 17th of Tammuz to the 9th of Av, a 3-week period of negativity. Because on the 9th of Av, the temples, both of them, were destroyed. The expulsion from Spain was ordered. Well, not just ordered, but that was the day they had to leave by. That was in 1492. Remember that one? The Shoah, the Holocaust, was signed by Adolf Hitler and Adolf Eichmann. The paper called The Final Solution to the Jewish Problem was signed on the 9th of Av in 1942. These are time periods. The calendar helps us understand and relate to those time periods. That's why we use it. The fifth month is Av, the lowest day or the highest day, because on the 9th of Av, the Mashiach is born. On the 9th of Av, the temple is destroyed. Which do you want? You want the happiness or you want the sadness? You have the choice. The 15th day of Av is also a holiday. It's called Valentine's Day in Hebrew. It's the day of love, the day that the sun is totally sharing with the moon. And then we proceed to 7 weeks leading up to Tishrei, 7 weeks of comfort, 7 weeks of tshuva, 7 weeks where God lowers himself to be closer to us, to make it easier for us to do the tshuva. We just came out of this period. The month was Av for 2 weeks, and then 4 to 5 weeks in Elul, the month of Virgo, the month of the Virgin, the month of purity, as we cleanse ourselves and recreate our own virginity, our own pureness. And then there's the month of seventh month called Tishrei, which we're in now, which gives us the new beginning, which gives us the creation of ourselves all over again. What kind of year are we going to have? 22 days of holiday, 22 days to visualize and manifest in potential our year. And then we go into the eighth month, the month of Cheshvan, the month of Akrav, the astrological sign of Scorpio. This is the month that the flood took place. The month the flood started, the flood ended. This is the month where Rachel, our mother, died, giving birth to Benjamin HaSadiq, the 12th tribe, who is the only tribe born in Israel. Seems like the two different kinds of energies, and that's what you will see. You will see the flood all through the month of Cheshvan. If you don't have the vessel for the amount of water, the amount of mercy, the amount of manifestation you need to do, it's a flood. If you have the vessel, it's a few waves. The ninth month is the month of Kislev, the month of miracles. All of the energy of that month will manifest during your year as miracles, if you know how to connect to it, if you know what a miracle is. The tenth month, a month where the Shekhinah doesn't operate, Tevet, a month where a negative action was done by the tribe of God, by the person known as God ben Yaakov, one of the 12 tribes. He did a negative action, and instead of Mashiach coming in the month of Tevet, it moved him over a month to Shvat, the Aquarian. So Mashiach will manifest during Aquarius, during Shvat. The month of Tevet is a very difficult month. It's the middle of winter, but that's just the effect also. Tevet is a difficult month. If you have the vessel, it's very powerful. If you learn how to use restriction, it's amazing. If you don't, we warn you, it's not an easy month. Then there's the month of Shvat. The month of Shvat is the holiday of Tu B'Shvat, the holiday of trees, the holiday of the renewal of the plants, the earth. A very happy time. Why? Because spring is just around the corner. And then the 12th month is Adar, the holiday of Purim, the holiday of completion, the holiday of love, the holiday where Amalek is destroyed, meaning doubt is destroyed, and the holiday where you realize that good and evil are the same, just tools to be utilized. Sometimes 13. The months are there to teach us about the metaphysical energies that are available in those months. tool is called a calendar. In the Torah, we are told that the method of determining a new month is through human sight. Human witnesses who say they saw the new moon. That's what then is declared by human statement, human manifestation of consciousness, words. A new moon is declared. There are people who live in Israel who do not follow the prepared calendar that all of Rabbinic Judaism follows, that all of the Jewish nation follows. They don't use it in their daily life because that would be too close to being so different from the rest of the world. But there are people in Israel who go out and declare a new moon, a new month. They're a minority, and I don't recommend that you be you follow them, because we do have a calendar that we've pre-calculated. And according to NASA, of the ancient calendars, the Mayan, the Chinese, the Jewish, all of the ancient calendars, the Jewish calendar was the most accurate. That just goes to show you how off target their instruments are, because they say that the Jewish calendar is off by 10 to the 5th power, and the reality is that their measurements are off by 10 to the 5th power. But be that as it may, time is the distance between cause and effect. The calendar is a tool for you to utilize to know the cause, the metaphysical energy that's in the cosmos, and the effect, the holiday, and your connection to that holiday within that month. All of those holidays have a different aspect. All of those holidays are meant for us to connect to, utilize, and manifest in our lives. The choice is yours. Do you want to follow it? Do you want to connect to it? Do you want to do it? It's there for you. It's God's mercy. You want to follow the Gregorian calendar like the Western world does? Or you want to follow the Muslim calendar like the Muslim world does? You're going to be out of sync with the holidays. The Gregorian calendar was designed as a lie. The calendar was originally 10 months. And then Julius Caesar wanted a month with his name on it, so he put in the month of July, and we had 11 months of 36 days instead of 10 months of 30. There was 10 months of 36 days, and then there was 11 months of 33 days. And then the Caesar after him, Augustus Caesar, wanted his name involved, so he made the month of August, and we have the 12 months of 30 days. The whole calendar was based on lies. The church got involved. They needed a winter holiday, so Jesus was born then. All based on lies. The essence of the Jewish calendar has been around since the year one, since Adam was created. It was there to teach us what is the metaphysical energy. You want to start something new? Don't do it in the period of the Omer. You want to get married? Don't do it in the period of the Omer. You're going against the energy in the cosmos. You don't have the vessel for it. Why fight the universe? You want to be happy? You want to bring miracles into your life? Connect to that energy on Hanukkah. during the month of Kislev. And I could go through this cycle of all 12 months again. But the Jewish calendar is there as a tool to be used or ignored. The choice is yours. I choose to utilize it. I choose to become aware of it. And that's what I teach you in this class. And that's why I talk to you about changing the verse of the Anabakoach, because the month has changed. What has happened? The month of scales, the month of balance, the month of Tishrei, the constellation Libra has moved. It has become the constellation of a Krav, of Scorpio. What is the nature of Scorpio? I'm entitled to say this, because both my parents were Scorpio, and the mother of my children is a Scorpio, and one of my daughters is a Scorpio, and one of my sisters was a Scorpio. So I can say this. The scorpion is the only animal on the face of the earth that eats its children. Understand what the flood means. Understand that the energy of the cosmos during the next 30 days will need a lot of restriction. With the restriction, you can convert the Scorpio into the joy of the 72 names of God. Akrav, the Hebrew word for Scorpio, is spelled Ayin Kuf Resh Bet. The first and the last letter, Ayin Bet, 72. The middle two letters spell the word kar, which means cold. Through restriction, you remove the cold and unify the names of God. Does anybody have any questions? The Omer starts in Passover, starts in spring.
Oh, okay.
We'll let you know. As difficult as the Omer period is, Scorpio can be worse if you're not prepared for it. What does it mean to have a flood? Starts Monday for 30 days. What is the period of a flood? What is the idea of a flood? Water represents mercy. The nature of water is to expand to its own level, to go as push and share as much as it can. It's the nature of water. We can't live without water. 70% of our world is water. Water is a beautiful entity, a beautiful consciousness. Mercy is wonderful. But what happens when it's too much? What happens when it becomes a tsunami? But it drowns people in a horrible way. If you've heard the descriptions of the tsunami, all of those cars and dirt and trees and shrubs and all of that stuff that gets picked up by the tsunami and thrown miles from where they were picked up, the people who are caught in that wave, that sand abrades their skin before they die, before they drown. It's not a nice experience. A flood is too much mercy. You have to do restriction in order to have the vessel to handle the flood. People who are shopaholics are not doing restriction. Why are they shopping? They enjoy it. It's pleasurable. There's nothing wrong with shopping. It's nothing wrong with receiving pleasure. We're here in this world to receive pleasure. The question is, why are you getting the shopping? Are you buying it for other people or for yourself? Are you happy to be shopping because you're out of the house and away from your husband? Or are you happy to be shopping because you love the beautiful colors? Are you happy to be shopping because it's good exercise to walk 6,000 miles through a mall? What is it that is your reason for being a shopaholic? Or you can shop online, but is your shopaholic meaning an addiction? I can't let it go. I love to purchase, so I don't stop. It controls me. I don't control it. And that's why you get people with credit card debt and all of the other dangers of our society. Completely? No. You have to have food. And in our society, buying food, you don't grow your own vegetables. Very few of us do. You don't grow, you know, you don't slaughter your own cows. Very few of us do that. We have a society that is integrated. Everybody does parts and pieces of the whole. And everybody shares in parts and pieces of the whole. That's the society we have created. That's a society that we should have. Because it's about sharing and receiving. Restriction is a lifetime process. Your consciousness of why you're doing something. So it's not the idea of buying or going shopping. It's not necessarily money. It's every aspect of what you do. Money is the easiest thing to talk about. Money is a tool. America? Or her fear. Being a Cancer, she's dominated by fear. She's afeared. If the sound stops, if that moment of quiet enters the conversation, let me run out of here. We all have experienced that, that moment of silence in conversations that are uncomfortable. America is learning about herself, and she knows that she dominates. She doesn't want that moment of silence. That's too frightening. So let's keep speaking. There's no restriction in that. The restriction for her would be to say, the silence is so wonderful. And many people do end up saying that. By the same token, there are people who, for them, the restriction is exactly the opposite. They have to talk. Someone who's a Pisces, they have no ego. They don't care. It doesn't bother them that people think less of them because they don't speak. Just isn't part of their nature. And for them, what's uncomfortable is to speak. Put a strong personality like America against a weak personality like a Pisces. Where's the balance? When America doesn't talk and the Pisces does, that's the balance. They're both doing restriction. Exactly opposite of each other. And that's why it's so hard to understand what is restriction, because it depends on your consciousness. Is it fun to talk, or is it a pain to talk? Is it fun to get up from a TV that's showing a football game, if you're a guy watching the Super Bowl, to go help your significant other with something in the kitchen? Guarantee you it's not fun. Guarantee you do it, and you're going to be very well received. Restriction is how you reveal light in this world.
Well, what is the restriction? To me, and I something hurtful, and then I restrict myself by that.
Somebody says something mean to you, the reaction would be to reach out, and stopping that reaction is the first step of restriction, but it isn't the full step of restriction. You first have to ask yourself, why did you get upset? She said something mean. That just means, since she's your mirror, she's telling you something you need to hear. So why don't you thank her for being mean? Any other questions? If I've confused you, understand that confusion is the beginning of clarity. So, this is a science that's an art that's been around for 6,000 years. It works. I cannot prove it to you. I will never prove it to you. Never believe a word I say, but try and use the tools that I described to you and see how they help you.
Yes, thanks. I'm sorry I put so much today, but I just
want
to understand. So, the
restriction
is to not do the
wrong thing. A baby is going to touch a hot stove. You slap its hand. Is that a right thing or a wrong thing? Mm-hmm. Let him burn himself?
He will learn
both ways. One way he avoids having a burned finger. The other way, he thinks that somebody doesn't like him. What's the correct thing? What's right? Restriction is not doing the wrong thing, more than doing the right thing. Something to think about. The class is over. Baruch. Baruch Atah. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen V'Amen.